60 Books, presented by Store Consulting and Coaching. A researcher hands a group of 10-year-olds puzzles that are slightly too hard for them. She is expecting to see them cope, or struggle, or give up, and to learn something about how children handle failure. What she does not expect is one boy pulling his chair up, rubbing his hands together, and saying, "I love a challenge." She said later that she knew right then that she was studying the wrong thing. She had assumed people either cope with failure or they do not. It had not occurred to her that someone could relish it. Today, Mindset by Carol Dweck. In two sentences, people carry an implicit belief about whether ability is fixed or can grow, and that belief shapes what they attempt, how they read failure, and what they become. Change the belief and the behavior follows. From the Reading Room, this is 60 Books. I'm Miles. 60 of the best management books of the last 100 years, one per episode, read for leaders and teams who think differently, and for work where AI is now part of the job. Nora, this is the most widely adopted idea in modern education.
And also the one with the sharpest gap between the poster on the classroom wall and what the research actually supports. Both halves of that are worth taking seriously.
Start with the experiment everyone knows.
The PRAISE studies with Claudia Mueller in the late 1990s. Children do a set of problems and all do well. Then one group is praised for being smart and the other is praised for working hard. That is the entire manipulation. One sentence.
And then?
They are offered a choice of what to do next. A harder task where they might learn something, or an easier one where they will look good. The children praised for intelligence overwhelmingly chose the easy one. The children praised for effort chose the challenge.
It gets worse.
It does. After a subsequent round of hard problems that everyone did poorly on, the intelligence-praised children enjoyed the work less, persisted less, and performed worse on a final set than they had on the first. And when asked to write to another school about the task, a substantial number of them misreported their scores upward.
One sentence of praise produced lying.
One sentence in children who had never met the researcher before. Which is why the study became famous, and it is a legitimately striking result.
Define the two mindsets properly.
A fixed mindset holds that intelligence and ability are essentially set. A growth mindset holds that they develop through effort, strategy, and help. And Dweck's point is that these are not beliefs people state. They are beliefs people act out, usually without noticing, and they show up most clearly at the moment something goes wrong.
What does each do with failure?
Under a fixed view, failure is information about you, so the rational move is to avoid situations that could produce it, hide errors, and reject feedback. Under a growth view, failure is information about the approach, so the rational move is to seek harder tasks and better feedback. Same person, same ability, opposite strategy.
The author.
Carol Dweck, born 1946 in Brooklyn. Barnard for her undergraduate degree, doctorate at Yale. Her early work in the 1970s was on learned helplessness in children, which is the direct ancestor of all of this. Why do some children collapse after failure and others do not?
And the career.
Columbia, Harvard, Illinois, and then Stanford, where she holds a named chair. She has been publishing on this for around 50 years, and the book in 2006 was a summary of decades of work rather than a new claim.
A detail worth knowing.
She has spent a good part of the last decade correcting people about her own idea, which is a rarer thing than it should be. We will get to that.
The applications.
Education is the obvious one, and the practical instruction is to praise process rather than person. Not you are so smart, but that strategy worked, or you kept going when it got hard. And her word for the space between failing and succeeding is not yet. You have not passed yet.
Business.
She looks at organizations that run on the talent myth, where the job of management is to identify stars, and contrasts them with ones that treat capability as developed. Enron is her example of the first, a company that recruited on brilliance and created enormous pressure never to look wrong.
Before relationships, there is a sports and a leadership thread I want.
She contrasts leaders who behave as though their job is to be the smartest person present with leaders who behave as though their job is to develop the organization. The first kind needs to be validated, which means bad news is dangerous to deliver to them, and the room learns that fast.
Which we have met before.
Twice. Collins is level 5 leaders in episode 1, the ones who channel ambition into the institution rather than themselves, and Markay in episode 5, whose hardest personal work was staying silent so his officers would think. A fixed mindset leader cannot do either, because both require being visibly not the source of the answer.
And there is a talent identification angle.
Strong one. If you believe ability is fixed, then the sensible strategy is to hire brilliance and discard people who struggle, because struggle is diagnostic. If you believe it develops, you invest in the person who is behind. Those two beliefs produce completely different organizations from identical information.
Relationships too.
A chapter arguing that a fixed view of relationships, that compatibility either exists or does not, predicts giving up when there is conflict. It is the least evidenced part of the book and the most quoted at dinner parties.
What has not held up, and this is a big one.
The largest test came in 2018 from Sisk, Burgoyne, Sun, Butler, and McNamara, published in Psychological Science. Two meta-analyses. The first looked at the relationship between students' mindsets and their achievement across studies totaling more than 365,000 people.
And found
a weak relationship. Mindset accounted for roughly 1% of the variance in academic achievement.
1%.
The second meta-analysis looked at interventions, the actual programs designed to change mindsets. The average effect on achievement was D equals 0.08, which is very small.
And there is a detail in there that is worse than the number.
There is, and it is the one that should trouble anyone selling this. About a third of intervention studies did not report whether the intervention actually changed students' mindsets. Of those that did check, around half failed to show any change. And here is the sting. In the studies where the manipulation demonstrably worked, where students really did shift toward a growth mindset, there was no significant effect on achievement.
So where the treatment took, nothing happened.
Which suggests that whatever benefit exists in these programs may not be coming from mindset at all. Some researchers have proposed it is simply encouragement to work harder.
Is there anything left?
Yes, and this is important because the story is not that it is all nonsense. Both the Sisk analysis and the large national trial run by Yeager and colleagues found that effects concentrate in specific groups: students who were previously failing, students experiencing economic disadvantage, students in lower performing schools. For those groups, the effects were real, if still modest.
An average of nearly nothing hiding a real effect in the people who most need it.
Which is a very different conclusion from either the poster or the debunking.
And Dweck's own correction.
She wrote about what she calls a false growth mindset, and she was blunt. People had reduced the idea to praising effort, including effort that was not producing learning, and to declaring that they had a growth mindset as a matter of identity. She pointed out that everyone is a mixture, that fixed mindset reactions are triggered by specific situations, and that praising effort that is not working is not the intervention. It is a way of avoiding the harder conversation about strategy.
The tier.
50 years of real research behind a popular book whose headline effect is much smaller than advertised, with a genuine surviving finding hidden inside the average, and an author who has been more honest about it than her adopters.
Now the neurodiversity turn, and I think this book cuts both ways harder than any we have done.
It does, and I want to start with the damage, because praise the effort has a specific failure mode here.
Go.
Consider a child with ADHD who spends 4 hours on homework that takes classmates 40 minutes and who arrives with it incomplete. The effort was enormous and almost entirely invisible. Now praise the effort. What that child hears is that the adult has no idea what just happened, or worse, that effort is the variable, and therefore the shortfall must be effort.
And they have heard that before.
For years, if you applied yourself, if you tried as hard at this as you do at the things you like. The growth mindset script, delivered without knowing about executive function, is indistinguishable from that.
So what is the corrected version?
Praise the strategy, which is what Dweck actually said and what got flattened in transmission. Not you worked hard, but you noticed the reading was not going in and you switched to reading it aloud, and that worked. That is specific. It is about a decision rather than an exertion, and it teaches something repeatable.
There is also a fixed mindset problem specific to diagnosis.
A real one in both directions. A diagnosis can become a ceiling. I have ADHD, so I cannot do that. And the overcorrection is just as bad. Mindset language used to deny that any constraint is real. The honest position holds two things at once. The constraint is real and not a matter of belief. The strategies for working with it are learnable, and that is where growth lies.
And then there is the finding you flagged,
which I think is the most important thing in this episode. The effects concentrate in students who were previously failing. Neurodivergent students are heavily overrepresented in that group, so the intervention that does almost nothing on average may be doing real work precisely for the population this show is about, and the debunking headline would have you throw it away.
There is one more thing I want on the record, because it is a distinction people collapse.
The difference between a belief about ability and a fact about conditions. Growth mindset is a claim about what you think can change. It is not a claim that everything can change, and it is certainly not a claim that the environment is irrelevant.
Say why that matters here.
Because the fastest way to misuse this book on a neurodivergent employee is to treat every request for a change in conditions as evidence of a fixed mindset. Asking for written instructions is not a belief problem. Needing quiet is not a belief problem. If a manager hears an accommodation request and reaches for mindset language, the idea has been turned into exactly the instrument Dweck spent a decade complaining about.
And the reverse test.
A useful one. Ask whether the thing in question responds to strategy. If a different approach reliably changes the outcome, that is growth territory. If no approach changes it and only a change in conditions does, that is an accommodation and no amount of belief will substitute.
What about not yet?
It survives and I would keep it. It converts a verdict into a position on a path, and for anyone whose history is full of verdicts, that is not a slogan. It is a different grammar.
And AI.
The mechanism here is beliefs about ability formed from experience. So the question is what these tools do to that experience.
Useful first.
The most direct thing is an infinitely patient explainer. A large part of fixed mindset behavior comes from the social cost of asking again, of being the person who still does not understand after the third attempt. Removing that cost is genuinely valuable, and it is available at 2 in the morning.
And strategy praise.
A model is good at generating alternative approaches, which is exactly the missing ingredient in false growth mindset. When effort is not working, the correct move is a different strategy, and having 12 to choose from turns an impasse into a menu.
The dangers.
2, and the first is serious. Growth requires the experience of struggling and then succeeding, because that is the evidence from which the belief is built. A tool that removes every struggle also removes the evidence, and what you get is competence with no accompanying sense of capability.
And the second.
These systems make confident, fluent output easy, which makes it easier to hide not understanding something. Fixed mindset behavior is fundamentally about concealment, and we have just built an excellent concealment tool.
The usual caution.
Evidence that AI support improves outcomes for neurodivergent workers is early and mostly practitioner reports. Promising practice, not established fact.
Nora, thank you.
Anytime, thanks, Miles.
That is mindset. Next time on 60 Books. First, break all the rules and what Gallup found when it interviewed 80,000 managers about what the good ones actually do differently. I'm Miles. See you then.